How are you all? Good to see you. Good to see you. Brandon said, it is hot. It is hot. I need to start making some sweet tea. Who said it was that? Well, as some of you may have seen, driving by and turning in, we had a little visitor last night and someone decided to rip up our mailbox and vandalize it in every which way. I don't know what their deal is, but we need a new one because it was kind of tweaked and it was bugging me. And I didn't want to rip it up, so. So, I don't know if that was a hate crime or anything like that, but you know. Well, Pastor Tim, what happens if they put a burning cross? Well, we'll douse it up with water and put some Christmas lights on it. And my wife loves Christmas in July, so we just preach from that too. Not going to let us keep us down and anything like that. So let me just read something to you. We got this vote coming up, registration deadline on the 12th, right? It says, value them both. In 2019, unelected judges of the Kansas Supreme Court ruled that our state constitution contains an unlimited right to abortion. Without the values in both amendment, unlimited abortion will come to Kansas. Our legislators will no longer be able to hold the abortion industry accountable as in New York, Illinois, and California. Not true. Opponents of the amendment have painted it as government mandate that could ban all abortions with no exceptions, even rape and incest. The campaign, run by Kansas for Constitutional Freedom, operates from the Overland Park Planned Parenthood office. Truth, value them both amendment will restore safe clinics, basic regulations for sanitation and sterilization that all health facilities follow, doctors' requirements abortions be performed by doctors with hospital privileges, education requirements to inform women of the physical and emotional implications, children mandates to notify parents when a minor is seeking an abortion, the unborn prohibition of the gruesome practice of late-term dismemberment abortion, taxpayers, protections against taxpayers' money going to Planned Parenthood and abortions. Vote yes for values in both amendment August 2nd. Now, some people may not agree with that because they don't read the word. They don't value the word. Now, how can you value them both if you don't value the word? Well, what happens if all these babies come in and you got all these thugs and stuff? I said, well, we've been preaching on words. Proverbs 18:21 says that death and life are in the power of the tongue and those who love it will eat the fruit thereof. I don't believe that those young babies will be thugs and things of that nature. They'll be doctors and lawyers and they'll be in the Senate and they'll be able to change their community in every which way. Let's prophesy over them life, not death. I'm not giving them a death sentence. Well, some people ain't gonna like it. I don't give a rip. Some pastors don't like it. Well, maybe you'll stop messing with your mistresses. You don't mess with the wrong person today. I cannot look my grandson and say, well, I have the right to do this. That's not my life. That wasn't their life. That's his life. That's her life. But what about the people who had one? I said, God forgives you. But as a nation, you don't understand. We are cursed because of the things that we legislate. Whatever we allow, God will allow. He's putting that on us. You gonna lose some friends? Don't care. You're not gonna judge. Listen, man's judgment is only for a season. God's judgment is eternal. Fear him, not man. Whew. Words. They're our future. Yes. You realize how many people? There's been over 60 million in this nation. For 50 years, they've had it their way. And they're losing their mind over a couple of weeks. The enemy don't like it, and I don't really care. I care about those young women. Well, they're just going to keep having sex. I said, they're already doing it anyway. How about we get some boldness in the pulpit? Yes. Young ladies, amen. Wait till you're married. Even if you make a mistake, I said, here's the thing. Two wrongs don't make a right. Because we were there. And there is not one time that we ever say, oh, well, we're going to. No. Not at all. And again, if you had one, God heals you. He can restore you. He can deliver you from that. He can even have, I mean, my goodness, he can make it new again. But we haven't given them the alternative that Jesus is the one because the church hasn't been the church. But you gonna tell people stop sinning? Even Jesus told a young man to stop sinning. He said, stop sinning or something worse may happen to you. He cared about them. And if you care about people, you're going to tell them the truth. Divided. And all the enemy wants to do is just divide the body of Christ. And he's done a great job at it. Not anymore. Do you mean to tell me you can get along with people? I said, I can agree to disagree with you. I am mature in that arena. I can look you in your face and tell you, hey, how's it going? Yeah, I don't agree with that abortion. Well, too bad. I believe it's wrong. Based upon the word. Why are you talking about this? I don't put that over God. It's in the word. He knit him in his womb. Young people, continue to be bold. Continue to be bold, Wesley. I see you over there. He be tweeting stuff out. That's good. Man, got me hot today. Let's get to the place. It's not condemning someone by telling the truth. And again, I know we don't want to be all nosy in everybody else's business and things of that nature too. I said, but when you see it, you can tell them. You can share that with them. You can go over it with them and what have you. Hey, this is what the word of God says. I had to start back Ubering and stuff. And there was a young man that was wanting to quit smoking. So we just sharing, he was Catholic and everything, and I didn't condemn him in any way. And before I dropped him off, he was telling me all his story. I said, and before I dropped him off, I said, hey, if you're really serious about it, every single time you just take a puff, just say, well, I hate this stuff. I hate smoking. I just hate this. He says, all right, man, that sounds good. I said, give him a fist bump. And so I don't know if he was the one that tore it up. I don't know. Maybe it was, because I did say, hey, that's I passed to that church right there when we were driving by, because he had to go get a pack of smokes. Maybe it was him. I don't know. If I see him, we're going to have a coming Jesus meeting. But you can't be afraid to tell people the truth. You can do it in a loving way. It's not about debating. People read the word just to debate. It's not about debating. Jesus says, my words are spirit and they are life. Life. Yes. Life. Well, I don't vote that way. I'm pro-abortion. Well, you pro-stupid. you can help them. We're the body. If a young lady needs help, let's help. You're going to have a lot of single mothers. I said, then preach the word. Tell them to wait. That the world is going to have a lot of single mothers out there. It's a given. But as a nation, we're not backing it up. And we're not going to do it anymore. The church is not going to do it anymore. Hopefully. Hopefully we wake up. Everybody else will want to be woke. We need to be woke too. But woke to the word of God. To the spirit of God. All right. Y'all ready to get into the word? Did I offend anybody? Well, if I did, I really don't care. You know, black people have a culture. We have a culture. I said sometimes, you know, growing up, my brothers say, my N-I-G-G. You know what I'm saying. That's my brother right there. And if anybody got a problem with him, you come see me. I don't speak for him. He's got character and integrity like never before. Anybody got a problem with Brandon Pro, you come see me. And I'll deal with you. Truth. If you don't like it, grab yourself a Coke, have a smile, sit down, and be quiet. Oh, let me get off this high horse. Today, we're discussing the word. The word. We're discussing the word. Mouth, tongue. We got word confessions here. This is what we're going to do. Let's read a few of these, and what scripture I call out, let's read them together. Okay? Because it's good to confess God's word over our lives. I mean, again, I want to let us know we're all on the same team. We're in the same boat. And we can choose. Some people can choose to be a duck. Duck quacks, but eagles soar. We can choose to be an eagle or a duck. A duck will constantly complain about stuff. Constantly quack, quack, quack. But eagles, they don't complain. They just keep soaring and soaring. Have you ever heard the story about an eagle and a crow? Well, when an eagle is flying, a crow gets on his back and just begins to bite and peck at him and peck at him and peck at him. Eagle doesn't get upset. Doesn't get mad. He just begins to soar higher and higher and higher to the point where the crow can't maintain and ends up falling off. And there's just going to be some people in your life where you just going to have to drop off because you keep going higher and higher and higher like an eagle. You got people, you don't have to sit there and fight and argue and bicker and all that other junk. Just keep soaring. Keep taking the high road. Me, sometimes I kind of want to bicker a little bit. But you just keep taking the high road. Just drop them on off. Give them a ride. Drop them on off as God is taking you to another level. Some people want to be crows. Others want to be eagles. I said, I want Westview Church to be eagles. Okay? So if there are any crows mentality out here, arrivederci. We're just going to drop you off. And then you can quack like a duck. But we still love you. I don't mean any harm or disrespect in that. I said, but I love that man right there. Brother from another mother. All right, let's read Romans 10:10. Ready? Read. For with the heart one believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. Proverbs 10:11. The mouth of the righteous is a well of life, but violence covers the mouth of the wicked. Ephesians 4:29. Let no corrupt word proceed out of your mouth, but what is good for necessary edification, that it may impart grace to the hearers. Psalm 37:30. The mouth of the righteous speaks wisdom, and his tongue talks of justice. Psalm 34:13. Keep your tongue from evil and your lips from speaking deceit. Psalm 119, 172. My tongue shall speak of your word, for all your commandments are righteousness. Proverbs 21, 23. Whoever guards his mouth and tongue keeps his soul from troubles. It's a good one there. Proverbs 22, 21. That I may make you know the certainty of the words of truth, that you may answer words of truth to those who send to you. Let's go last one, Hebrews 4, 12. For the word of God is living and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the division of soul and spirit and of joints and marrow, and is the discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. The title of my message is, What He Said. What who said? What Jesus said. We got to get to the place where we're doing what Jesus had told us to do. There's things that Jesus says in His Word that sometimes we don't listen because we want to just take our own route. We want to do our own thing. And we're not the only ones. The Israelites did it. They couldn't follow what God was saying. They couldn't follow what Moses was telling them. They kept grumbling and complaining. And I'm talking about a generation that's seen more miracles happen. I mean, first sight miracles. It hasn't been done before. Still complain. God proved Himself over and over and over and over and over again. Still complain. If you got your Bibles, open up to Exodus 15. Starting verse 22. Thank you, sir. Gotta get my lean on. It says, Then Moses led the people of Israel away from the Red Sea, and they moved out into the desert of Shur. They traveled in this desert for 3 days without finding any water. When they came to the oasis of Marah, the water was too bitter to drink, so they called the place Marah, which means bitter. Then the people complained and turned against Moses. What are we going to drink? They demanded. So Moses cried out to the Lord for help, and the Lord showed him a piece of wood. Moses threw it into the water, and this made the water good to drink. It was there at Marah that the Lord set before them the following decree as a standard to test their faithfulness to Him. He said, If you listen carefully to the voice of the Lord your God and do what is right in His sight, obeying His commands and keeping all His decrees, then I will not make you suffer any of the diseases I sent on the Egyptians, for I am the Lord who heals you. That sounds like a pretty powerful word that God says, if you will obey. And a lot of times, sometimes we don't want to. Like sheep, we go astray every now and then. But the Lord is telling them, if you obey. Now, they ended up naming this place Marah, I believe it's called, which means bitter. So they named it before God changed it. How many of you know you need to start naming your problems before God ends up changing your solution? Changing your problems. We keep naming it and claiming it, and the thing about it is that's good, but don't name and claim your problems. Name and claim the word of the Lord. Speak that out. So after God does this, He rains down manna and quail from heaven. Manna and quail every single day, with the exception on the Sabbath. He rained that down. They still grumbled and complained. Imagine that. Then God commands Moses to strike the rock, Exodus 17. At the Lord's command, the whole community of Israel left the wilderness of Sin and moved from place to place. Eventually, they came at Rephidim, but there was no water there for people to drink. So once more, the people did what? Complained against Moses. Give us water to drink, they demanded. Quiet, Moses replied, "Why are you complaining against me, and why are you testing the Lord?" But tormented by thirst, they continued to argue with Moses. "Why did you bring us out of Egypt? Are you trying to kill us, our children, and our livestock with thirst?" Then Moses cried out to the Lord, "What should I do with these people? They are ready to stone me." The Lord said to Moses, "Walk out in front of the people, take your staff, the one you use when you struck the water of the Nile, and call some of the elders of Israel to join you. I will stand before you on the rock at Mount Sinai. Strike the rock and water will come gushing out. Then the people will be able to drink." So Moses struck the rock as he was told, and water gushed out as the elders looked on. Moses named the place Masa, which means test, and Meribah, which means arguing, because the people of Israel argued with Moses and tested the Lord by saying, "Is the Lord here with us or not?" Take the staff, strike it. Now, it wasn't no river that was running through the rock that just eroded away. Water came out of a dry rock. That's the power of God. And that's the power of obedience. If they just listen. If we just listen. There was a time when I was seeking the Lord and finding out, "Lord, what is it?" We were staying at, is it Sundance Apartments? That's what it's called? Yeah. Right off 33rd there. And I'm asking the Lord, "What is it I'm called to do?" I wasn't in ministry here at the church or anything like that. "What is it I'm called to do?" So every morning he was waking me up 4:59 or 5 o'clock or 5:01. Just automatic. I didn't set an alarm. It was those three times. And guess what? I hit the snooze. I just went back to sleep. A few times I got up and it was some powerful moments, mornings, but for the most part, I missed it. And then there was this one day when Kristen was, I think at her mom's, or she was doing something, and I was at the house. The kids were playing and they were running through the apartment. We were upstairs, so it makes a lot of, you know, a lot of noise and stuff. And I said, "Hey, you guys need to stop running in the house because somebody might get hurt." So they stopped for a little bit, and then they kind of got riled up again and again. And then they were running through, and it's like, "Hey, y'all need to stop playing or somebody may get hurt." Stop for 10, 15 minutes. Then they got started again and stuff and started playing. I said, "Hey, if you just," I think somebody did get hurt. I said, "See, if you would have just listened to me, that never would have happened." And I hear a voice say, "Exactly." Where'd that come from? Well, fast forward, we moved to our new house where we're at now. We're unloading boxes. Kids get started playing. Same scenario. "Hey, stop playing or somebody is going to get hurt. You guys are going to hurt yourself." Remember what happened last time? They stopped playing. Then they kind of get started up again and someone got hurt. I said, "See, if you would have just listened to me, that never would have happened." "Exactly." This time it was louder. And I thought about it for a minute. And I thought about my situation that I was in. The situation that I was in never would have happened if I would have just listened to the Lord. And he was waking me up every morning to let me know that was coming. And I didn't listen. I didn't obey him in that sense. And I was like, I'm going to keep my mouth shut. Obedience. Well, Pastor Tim, obedience is better than sacrifice. Absolutely. But here's the thing. It's obedience to God. Can you imagine Saul using that to David? "David, obedience is better than sacrifice." "Okay, let me see. Explain yourself, King Saul." "Well, you know, when a demon, evil spirit would come up on me and I'm sitting down and you come in and to relieve me because, you know, I'm having trouble just thinking and everything. And I pick up my spear and I want to kill you with it. David, you need to be obedient to that. You need to let me spear you to the wall. No. David is not going to be obedient to Saul in that manner, because Saul is out of his ever-loving mind. He will be obedient to God. And we need to be obedient to God the Father. So even if Pastor Tim has you do something you shouldn't be doing, you stay obedient to God. Not me. God. Because when it's all said and done, you're going to have to stand before him, not me. Any leader who tells you to do something that is wrong, you don't do it. You can righteously oppose that. Well, obedience is better than sacrifice. Well, I'm going to be obedient to God because he tells us to be faithful in the few. And he'll put us rule over much. So how are you going to try to want me? Why do you want me to steal that and sweep it under the rug and be obedient to you? But God is saying, that's wrong. You stay obedient to the Father. And I guarantee you, Joseph stayed obedient to the Father. When Potiphar's wife wanted a piece of him, he ran. You talk about that. I mean, he put an emphasis on flee from sexual immorality. He started it. And yet still went to jail. But yet the word God says his favor was with him though. God was still with him. He did the right thing. He did everything right and still paid the price. But he still had a call. He still had a purpose. Some people may put you in bad situations, but understand something here. You stay true to God, not man. Let God be true and every man be a liar. You stay connected to him. But I've already done these things in the past. Well, thank God for his grace. I've done some things in my past too. Wouldn't you like to know? It'll come out in a message sometime. Numbers 20. In the first month of the year, now this is the 40th year. They were in the wilderness for 40 years. This is the 40th year, the first month of the 40th year. The whole community of Israel arrived in the wilderness of Zin and encamped at Kadesh. While they were there, Miriam died and was buried. There was no water for the people, again, no water, for the people to drink at that place, so they rebelled against Moses and Aaron. What is it with people? Rebelling, because they don't get what they want. The people blamed Moses and said, if only we had died in the Lord's presence with our brothers. Why have you brought the congregation of the Lord's people into the wilderness to die, along with all of our livestock? Why do you make us leave Egypt and bring us here to this terrible place? This land has no grain, no figs, no grapes, no pomegranates, and no water to drink. Moses and Aaron turned away from the people and went to the entrance of the tabernacle, where they fell face down on the ground. Then the glorious presence of the Lord appeared to them. And the Lord said to Moses, you and Aaron must take the staff, assemble the entire community. As the people watch, speak to the rock over there. Speak to the rock, and it will pour out its water. You will provide enough water from the walk from the rock to satisfy the whole community and their livestock. So Moses did as he was told. He took the staff from the place where it was kept before the Lord. Then he and Aaron summoned the people to come and gather at the rock. Listen, you rebels, he shouted. Must we bring water from the rock? Then Moses raised his hand and struck the rock twice with the staff, and water gushed out. So the entire community and their livestock drank their fill. But the Lord said to Moses and Aaron, because you did not trust me enough to demonstrate my holiness to the people of Israel, you will not lead them into the land I am giving them. This place was known as the waters of Meribah, which means arguing, because there the people of Israel argued with the Lord, and there he demonstrated his holiness among them. So what was Moses supposed to do? Speak to it. That was an instruction. And what did Moses do? He suggested it and he hit it twice. When God says speak to the, when Jesus says speak to the mountain, we suggest it. Man, it would be nice if God healed that person. Man, it would be great when their eyes would open up. Man, it would be so awesome if somebody got a, you know, a raise on their job or something. Man, it would be so awesome. We keep suggesting things and Jesus is saying, speak. We're doing this. Now, again, thank God for his grace and mercy. But his disobedience kept them from entering into the promised land. It's 40th year. My goodness, you're at the finish line. And it was just a small ordeal. But when God says to do it, do it. Thank God we don't have to live under that. We get to the place to where we don't get confident. And when we're constantly bogged with sin in our life, sin will make us cowards. To the place to where we won't get confident. We don't have that confidence to be able to speak to the mountain. God, I'm having problems in this life. This stuff is going on and I don't know what to do. Speak to your mountain. Whatever you allow, God will allow. Speak to it. Speak to that illness. Speak to your mind. Use the word of God over your life. Some people don't believe in all that confession stuff. I do. You know why? Because it's worked all the time. And if it didn't work, that was on me. I wasn't in faith. Thank God for his grace. Speak. Speak. Stop suggesting. Kings don't suggest things. They decree it. You know, when they suggest that somebody needs to, the ditch needs to be dug, they don't go grab a shovel. Someone else does. Decree it. Your angels are waiting. And you got to understand, even when things are going wrong in your life, the enemy is waiting for what you're going to have, what you're going to say, and God is waiting for what you're going to say. His angels are waiting. Which one are you going to speak? Life or death? Mark 5. Jesus got into the boat again and went back to the other side of the lake, where a large crowd gathered around him on the shore. Then a leader of the local synagogue, whose name was Jairus, arrived. When he saw Jesus, he fell at his feet, pleading fervently with him. "My little daughter is dying," he said. "Please come and lay your hands on her and heal her so she can live." Jairus said this. Jesus went with him, and all the people followed, crowding around him. A woman in the crowd had suffered for 12 years with constant bleeding. She had suffered a great deal from many doctors over the years. She had spent everything she had to pay them, but she had gotten no better. In fact, she had gotten worse. She had heard about Jesus, so she came up from behind him through the crowd and touched his robe, for she thought to herself, "If I can just touch his robe, I will be healed." The Passion Translation says this, "For she kept saying to herself, if I could touch even his clothes, I will be healed." Self-talk is important. Why are you talking to yourself? "If I may touch the hem of his garment." She gambled it all and lost, for the most part, all of her money gone. Now she's risking to go out under Levitical law, she is not able to go out. So she's saying, if I just may touch the hem of his garment, I will be made whole. She kept speaking that over and over and over again until she physically saw that in her spirit. She knew that would happen. She knew it. What are you speaking over and over and over again in your life, in your mind right now? What's replaying right now in your heart that you keep speaking over and over and over again? Please let it be life and not death, because you're going to get that. Immediately the bleeding stopped, and she can feel in her body that she had been healed of her terrible condition. Jesus realized at once that healing power had gone out from him. So he turned around in the crowd and asked, "Who touched my robe?" His disciples said to him, "Look at this crowd pressing you. How can you ask who touched me?" But he kept on looking around to see who had done it. Then the frightened woman, trembling at the realization of what had happened to her, came and fell to her knees in front of him and told him what she had done. And he said to her, "Daughter, your faith has made you well." Because she kept saying it over and over and over again. If you're speaking death, guess what? Your fear has jacked your life up. Your faith will make you well. Your fear will jack your life up by speaking it over and over and over again. "Go in peace. Your suffering is over." While he was still speaking to her, messengers arrived from the home of Jairus, the leader of the synagogue. They told him, "Your daughter is dead. There is no use troubling the teacher now." You talk about words that will just stop you in your tracks. But can we get the boldness like Jesus? Jesus overheard them and said to Jairus, "Don't be afraid. Just have faith. Hold on to your confession. What you told me earlier, to come lay hands on your daughter so that she may live, you hold on to that. Don't allow this bad news disrupt you. You hold on to that." And let's roll. Then Jesus stopped the crowd and wouldn't let anyone go with him except Peter, James, and John, the brother of James. When they came to the home of the synagogue leader, Jesus saw much commotion and weeping and wailing. He went inside and asked, "Why all this commotion and weeping? The child isn't dead. She's only asleep." The crowd laughed at him, but he made them all leave. They went from weeping and wailing to laughing. Lets you know they weren't really there just to help. Sometimes you're going to have people in your life that's not going to help, and you need to get them all out. Well, I would never put anybody out. Your life depends on it. If they're not in agreement with you, if they're not in agreement with the word of God, kick them out. Lovingly show them the door. Don't let the door hit you. You know the rest. That's rude. They're going to say something. "But my daughter will live." You worried about that over there? My daughter lives. My son lives. My marriage lives. But you worried about what people will say. Nah, let's not go there. And he took the girl's father and mother and his three disciples into the room where the girl was lying. Holding her hand, he said to her, "Talitha kum," which means, "Little girl, get up." And the girl, who was 12 years old, immediately stood up and walked around. They were overwhelmed and totally amazed. Jesus gave them strict orders not to tell anyone what happened, and then he told them to give her something to eat. Who's in your life you need to kick out? Are they speaking a lot of unbelief? Are you trying to wage war against two and constantly trying to debate in every which way? If people don't believe the word, that's on them. If they don't believe what God, "I don't believe the miracles are for today." You know, even when people are preaching the gospel and they say, "Well, I don't like this prosperity gospel. I don't like that. This gospel is this." I said, they're preaching the gospel, but they're not demonstrating anything. Jesus taught and healed. They just teaching. No healing. Where's the healing at? Where's the signs at? And I'm not just, well, you know, give, you know, somebody coming to Christ is the greatest miracle. It is. But there were also other signs. Well, we don't necessarily need that today because we got doctors. Thank God for the doctors. But after you spent everything you had, then what? After you paid $400,000 for a triple bypass, then what? I don't know how much that costs. But if you had one, I'm glad you're here. Thank God for it. Thank God for insurance. We got to get to the place to where it's, I mean, we just keep soaring, soaring and soaring. The enemy get on your back and try to peck at you in every which way. Just drop them off. Arrivederci. Because God is going to take you to another level. Another level. I haven't backed down. I have not backed down. His fingers will grow out. Amen. Are we going to speak life or death? Thank you, Jesus. Well, what makes you think you can say that? His word. And guess what? You have the same Jesus on the inside of you. I just have a title. It ain't about the title. It's about Jesus. It ain't about me. It's about Jesus living in you. I tell you about the man who had talked about where he went. He didn't prepare for his message, and I got to meet him back in Topeka last year, and I was like, it was because I used this years ago when I heard it at a different man's church. And so he decided to skip studying and just watch the golf meet, PGA. And then he got up there and he says, Lord, I kind of need something. And he was up there just kind of getting ready to talk, and then Jesus appears right there on the stage. He says, you tell him everything that I did here on earth, I did as a man. God in the flesh, just like us. And sometimes it seems like we can't even break wind. Heal it, hangnail. And he's walking on this earth just as you are. And he says, anything that you ask in my name, it shall be done. According to his word. Anything. I'm telling you, he's taking us to a whole nother level. And if people don't want to roll, don't fight with them. Just drop them off. Healing. What's wrong with your hair?
It's a bad spring. They said 6 weeks, and I'm saying it's done and healed by next Tuesday.
Amen. Can you wiggle your fingers?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
It's already 3 times farther along than what they
You know the awesome thing about faith? It can override time. What the doctors say is 5 weeks. It can take 5 seconds with God. It can take 5 days. 5 hours. But faith will always override time. Doctors go off time. Thank God for them. But God can speed that up. And sometimes, like in my case, he didn't want it sped up. I'm not saying he didn't want me healed. I knew I was healed. Day one. But faith will always override time. Always. It'll speed it up. Not because we're impatient, because of the power of God. You know, when Jesus was told that Lazarus had died, he didn't get into panic. All right, let's go, let's grab everybody, let's go. We got to make it back. And then, you know, my friend Lazarus died. No, he stayed there two more days. Jesus, come on, man. We got to have a sense of urgency. They're going to see something pretty awesome right here. You've been dead for 4 days. Why? So they can believe. Yes. He is the resurrection. That power has not changed. His grace has not changed. His mercy has not changed. You know who's changed? Us. Our thought process with it. In America, we're kind of spoiled. But we got to get back to that. Doesn't mean we just got to use the wisdom of God in things. And there is nothing too big that God can't do. Speak to the rock. Speak to it every single day. For she kept saying, if I may touch. For she kept saying, I will get this promotion. For she kept saying that my child is healed and whole. For she kept saying, over and over and over again, till her faith made her well. Because she drew from the power of God. And God is not limiting us. We are limiting him. Oh, I feel so bad. Don't. Because you can, just a twist of it, tweak, you can change that quick. Now, if God is limiting us, we're doomed. But we're not. His power is limitless. So you got those family members. You have those friends that are going through some hard times. You got the little ones there. Speak the word over them. Lay hands on them. Heal them. Deliver them. Set them free. You got that power operating on you. Speak to your situation over and over and over again and consider it done. Hey, and also, don't forget to thank them. That man, that word amen means so be it. It's a done deal. Ain't that right, Connor? It's a done deal. Got a little one on the way, man. How awesome is that? Sorry. Speaking words, and you got to also understand you got a big mouth. You probably shouldn't. I mean, really? Sometimes, honestly, we talk about speaking a word, but also there could be a season and time in your life where sometimes we just need to fast our opinion. But I don't think that hour is now. If you get to the place the Lord said, be quiet. Okay, I need to fast my opinion for a season. Try it for a week. You might feel a lot better, a lot less stressful. You know, there's a couple, if I can remember the story right. Wife was complaining about her husband. And the preacher had told, you know, he just doesn't listen to me. He's doing all this. He just seems so, like he's just so stressful in every which way. Every time I'm talking to him, he don't want to listen. I mean, it's just so frustrating in my life. I just don't understand what's going on and why he's doing this in every which way. And the pastor has said, you know, next time you get around him, just drink some water and just hold that water in your mouth. And then she did it, went home and got around her husband and stuff and drank some water and held it in her mouth for a little bit. And she's like, man, he's just so, she was just thinking to herself, He's just so nice now. What's going on? I don't understand it. She's thinking all this. And then she ended up seeing the pastor again. She goes, it worked. It worked. You know why? Because you shut up. The water in your mouth kept you from talking, kept you from nagging, kept you from being a nuisance. Ladies, you can just flip it. Just flip it. Just flip it. It works both ways. I probably messed that up pretty good, but that's all right. You get the gist. What he said. What he said. Obedience is to him. And if man isn't submitted to him, you stay obedient to him. If I ever get to the place where I have you do something that will contradict your faith or any way, shape, or form, let me know. It probably ever won't happen because I don't do that. But if anyone else does that, it don't matter in your job, anywhere else, you do what's right in the sight of the Lord. You be that Joseph. I'm sticking with it. One of the principles I live by is that I will never, ever submit to a false narrative about myself. And it's amazing how many times people want to get you to do that. That's just growing up over the years. Some people want to call you out your name. I heard Bill Winston say, I don't care what they call me, just don't call me late for dinner. It's probably good. Keep you from fighting. Everybody stand up, stand up, stand up, stand up. Oh, my God. It's trays back there. Yeah, my walking stick. Hallelujah. Does anybody have any neck problems? T, you having neck problems? Because I don't want to hear it at the house. No, we love you. No neck problems. Thank you, Jesus. You having neck problems? I knew there was one. The Lord said to speak to it. So I ain't going to do like Moses. And we ain't going to go there. Yeah. What can't you do? What's wrong with it? Okay. Well, in the name of Jesus, stretch your hand out to him. We call that healed. His arm, his shoulder, his neck, in the name of Jesus, from the top of his head to the soles of his feet. He is healed. What's your name? Mike is healed in the name of Jesus. Lord, we thank you that you are working on him right now, Lord. We thank you in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. You believe it? For she kept saying, I am healed. And let's give him thanks.
Amen.
Let's give him thanks.
Amen.
Let's give him thanks. Just move it. There you go. How's it feel? Still tight? Okay. In the name of Jesus, we thank you, Lord, for healing. Loose it up. In the name of Jesus, we thank you, Lord. You are the healer. Hallelujah. Move your arm. Scale of 1 to 10. Better or worse? Better. Pain. 10 being the highest. Where you at? 4. I want you to speak to it. Arm. Be healed. In the name of Jesus. Neck. Be healed. In the name of Jesus. Keep moving. There you go. Because now you got to use your face. Where you at? Less than 4 now? You still got a little bit? pain, be healed.
Be healed.
In Jesus' name.
In Jesus' name.
It started popping?
Stop.
It stopped? Stopped popping. Where you at?
Three?
With your neck? What is your arm?
Arm's better.
Arm's better. Zero?
Mm-hmm.
Neck is three. Same thing. Pain?
Pain.
Stiffness?
Stiffness.
Be healed.
Be healed.
In the name of Jesus.
In the name of Jesus.
Hallelujah. Where you at?
Better.
Zero?
Not zero, but it's better.
No, we don't want you going out with wanting or nothing like that. That's like this.
Come on.
She was completely healed. Keep working it. Lord, I thank you for healing me. I thank you that I'm healed by your stripes.
I thank you that I'm healed by your stripes.
Richard has your back. I was talking to him.
No.
Lay your hands on his neck. Speak over him. Speak over it. Speak to it.
In the name of Jesus, you're healed. The devil has no room inside you. You're healed. In the name of Jesus.
There you go. You speak to the mountain. Neck, be healed. It doesn't take much. Jesus said, faith as small as a mustard seed. Speak directly to it. Don't pray over it. You speak to it.
Amen.
We can have prayer groups and stuff. I'm saying this. We'll put you on a prayer wall and every which way. I said, which are good, but speak to it. How many people see those things on a prayer wall and we begin speaking to that thing right away? Speak to that neck. And if it tries to come back and get stiff, in the name of Jesus, I'm healed. I thank you, Lord. I'm healed. Where you at? One. You know what to do. In the name of Jesus. We thank you. It's hot. Come on. It's working. Amen.
Thank you.
Amen. 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 Ma'am, how are you doing?
You're welcome, my friend.
Amen. Hips. Hips out of alignment? Come here. We gonna tap it twice. Where's it hurting? I mean, just
all
right?
All the way around here. This pops out of place a lot.
Okay. Nicole, come here. You mind me calling you? This is what I want you to say. Hip.
Hip.
In the name of Jesus.
In the name of Jesus.
We command you.
We command you.
Right now.
Right now.
To be healed.
To be healed.
In Jesus' name.
In Jesus' name.
Hip, be healed in Jesus. Be
Amen.
Whole and stay in place. In
Amen.
Jesus.
Amen. Like no more popping.
In Jesus' name. No more numbness. No more anything. All
right.
In Jesus'
name. Can you stand on your left, right leg?
Wobbly.
That's all right. I'm wobbly too. Bow-legged. Good. Okay. Does that hurt?
It feels like it's going to give out.
Yeah.
It doesn't hurt. It just feels unstable.
Well, we command that hip to be strengthened.
Stable and strengthened in Jesus.
In the name of Jesus. Lord, we thank you. We thank you. Thank you. I think there's one more person with the hip. Randy, get over here.
was lodged in the wreck.
I did. That wreck years ago? Several years ago? 3 years? How's your hip?
Wonderful. I say that by faith.
Right. I mean, it's not like you don't know the word. You don't know that Jesus. I mean, you already know that Jesus is a healer.
Amen.
Father God, we just thank you for him. Right now, we speak to his hips, both of the hips, in the name of Jesus. Lord, we thank you. We thank you for healing. Strengthen. We command these hips to be strengthened in the name of Jesus, Lord, right now. Nothing short, Lord. Nothing short of what you created them to do. In the name of Jesus, you quit wobbling. Walk straight. Walk tall. In the name of Jesus. Amen.
The word you just spoke was perfect.
You have one leg shorter than the other?
That's the symptom. But ain't.
Says who? Okay.
You going to speak to it?
He is walking a little better. We going to watch you walk. Father God, we just thank you for today. We thank you for all you've done, Lord. Father God, you are just so awesome. You are the healer. You are the deliverer, Lord. And we just thank you for this family here. We thank you for the wrist being healed in the name of Jesus, Lord. We thank you in the name of Jesus. We thank you for justice, Lord. We thank you. People lying. We thank you for justice. Hallelujah. You are the God of justice. And if anyone hurts your little kids, Lord, you protect them. We thank you for the favor that is operating in all of our lives, Lord. And we speak the blessing over them. In Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Amen. Sorry I kept you longer than usual. But y'all have a great week. Stay cool. Drink some sweet tea.
Thank you for joining us today. If you want more information about Westview Church or would like to listen to a previous broadcast, we invite you to check out our website at westviewchurch.tv or like our Facebook page at Westview Church of Hayes.